from Ash Wednesday, which was last Wednesday night, for the next 6 weeks until Easter, we observe Lent. That's one of the Christian calendar seasons. Lent consists of 40 days before Christ's resurrection. During this time, we the believers in Christ examine ourselves, repent of our sins, and restore our broken relationships with God first and with one another. Of course, we cannot do all these things that I mentioned without self-examination and without prayer. And therefore, as pastor of this congregation, I urge every one of you to devote yourself to prayer throughout Lent. Now, some of you look for, Pastor Choi, do you have any challenge for this Lent? I don't have any extra challenge. You already, some of you took the Bible reading challenge throughout the year. However, I encourage all of you to devote yourself to prayer. Some of them fasting. Heard of it? Fasting means that you pray. It's more like a intense prayer session without taking food. So some of you consider that, doing a fasting once a week throughout the Lenten season. Others consider, like Catholics do, they just, not taking the meat once a week. A friend of mine who does that, and so forth. So the whole point of doing it is during the Lenten is that you devote yourself to prayer. So I will leave it up to you. What I'm going to do for the next 5 Sundays, including today, is this. We'll focus on the word prayer. More specifically on 5 aspects of prayer. I would call 5 R's. 5 R's. They are relationship, rescue, request, rest, and reclaim. So I'm going to go over these 5 R's throughout a Lenten season. Today is number 1, prayer as a relationship. Now, most of us perceive that prayer is a requirement. Once you become a believer in Christ, they teach you how to pray. Now, this is how they taught me when I became a Christian some 40-some years ago. Close your eyes, bow your head, fold your hands, and start saying to God whatever you have in your mind. That's how we teach our kids, right? Pauline, isn't that true? That's how we teach the kids. That's exactly what I have been doing for the past 40 years. Yes, even after I have become a pastor, yes, even after I have grown in my faith from a baby Christian to a mature one, yes, even after I have taught numerous times done Sunday school and the Bible studies on the same topic of prayer over the years. This is what I've been doing day after day. I got on my knees and closed my eyes and bowed my head and folded my hands and said a few things to God for 40 some years. Then in the past year, I began to learn something new about prayer. You never stop learning. The Lord taught me the very basic nature of prayer. You could call it foundational prayer. He said that prayer is not a religion. It is rather a relationship. Prayer is not a duty, but rather a privilege of constant communion with the loving Father in heaven. Now, this new revelation made me realize what I have been doing wrong all these years. I have been focusing on the prayer itself and ended up missing out on the most important thing in prayer, that is God Himself. I would focus in the past on gifts and the way to get them from God, forgetting about the giver Himself. Here's an illustration. Let's say that I am driving. I'm seated in the driver's seat and you're seated next to me. What would I must do is to look at what's ahead of me through the windshield, right? What would you say if I constantly look at all the size of the windshield inside itself, but never look at what's beyond the windshield? Therefore, failing to see where I am going. If the prayer is the windshield, God is the direction where I am going. In the past, I've been so wrapped up with my duty to pray daily. I'm the pastor after all. And I was so focused on what I would get through prayers that I lost the true focus of prayer, which is God. Jesus demonstrates that, the true focus of prayer in today's text. As David explained to you, it was happening in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before Christ was crucified. He was grieved and distressed with what, you may ask? With the fact that he was about to taste the physical death. His soul was very heavy with the burden of bearing the sin of humanity. That's why he said to his own disciples, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." He went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." For the next hour, he prayed two more times, the same prayer, saying this, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Now please pay attention to how Jesus began his prayer. Out of so many words that he could have said, this is what he said, "My Father." In fact, whenever Jesus addressed to God in heaven, whether he was in private or whether in public, whether he was teaching or whether he was praying, he always started with, "My Father," or "Father." It tells me something. And come to think of it, that's what I have been missing. I have not been doing in all these years of my prayer life, calling God in heaven, "My Father." In a typical prayer of mine, this is what's happening. Without a proper greeting, "My Father," or taking time, I would rush into what I need from him. Then after a few minutes of presenting my, quote-unquote, shopping list, I would sign off until the next day. Folks, I'm telling you, you could forget all these things I'm telling you this morning, but this one. Remember this one. "My Father" is a key to our prayer life. The father-child relationship dictates our attitude toward prayer. It determines the outcome of prayers as well. So from now on, start your prayers saying, "My Father." How many of you do that? When you pray, you begin with, "My Father." See, a lot of myself. Did you see my hand up too? I'm just so much rushing into the just, "Lord, this is what I need." For the rest of my sermon, you will hear my testimony. It's been almost 5 years since I came to Manahawkin. I came to Manahawkin in the summer of 2013. For the first 3 years or so, I did everything in my vocabulary to make a difference in our congregation. From finances to visitations, from family promise to loads of love. Now, many improvements have been made since. For that, I am very grateful to God. The one thing, though, did not satisfy me. It was worship attendance. It plateaued around 135 in the past 5 years. I said to myself, what happened to those folks, total of 40 people, who joined our congregation in my first year? I mean, that was unheard of in my ministry. 40 people joined within a year after I came our church as official members. I said to myself, provided everyone, those 40, attends the service every Sunday, that number alone would boost our worship attendance 40 more every Sunday. So instead of hovering around 130, it would be up, 170. What happened to those 40 people? After all, increase in worship attendance was not happening. Worse, I was constantly reminded and even urged by my superiors in our conference to increase the worship attendance by any means, by all means. So this is what I did. Under such pressure, I went to the Lord in prayer. Lord, please increase our worship attendance. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed more, morning and night. I prayed for 3 years. Lord, increase our worship attendance. Now, during that time, one night I was on my knees and I felt that the Lord was speaking to me, not audibly, but leaving the impression in my heart. The way the Lord communicates with me is that He uses lots of questions so that I may think. He said to me, "Would you still pray even though the attendance is not up? Would you still pray?" That question shocked me, actually got my attention. My instant reaction to that question and answer to his question was, "Perhaps not. Why would I pray to you if I don't get what I pray for? You think pastor know better?" Not really. But for the next few days, his question made me examine my true motive for prayer. Why do I pray? What is the true purpose of my prayer? Things that I want or God? A gift or the giver? Would I pray only when I need something from God? Have I not treated God, therefore, as servant, like genie in the bottle? Who is God to me? Who am I to Him? Who is the servant and who is the master in my prayer? Those questions I had to go through. Finally, I came to grips with prayer. I began to understand the true nature of prayer, foundation of prayer. It is not about requests. It is about relationship. Relationship goes before requests, and communion goes before my shopping list. Prayer is a communion with God daily and every moment between a loving Father in heaven and His loving child, like you and me. It is not a healthy or intimate relationship, would you say, if I put the gifts before the giver, only interested in what do I get from you? True relationship with God begins with knowing who God is to me and being who I am to God. He is my loving Father and I am His loving child. Like the relationship Jesus had with His Father in heaven, always calling Him my Father. It's not just Father, Father, it's like my dear dad. Very affectionate term. As for closing, I will say this. If you keep reading the Bible, I am very delighted to report to you about 20 people took up extra challenge, new people reading the Bible. If you keep reading the Bible, somewhere toward the end of the Old Testament, you will meet Prophet Habakkuk. That's one of the minor prophets toward the end of the Old Testament. Anyway, in chapter 3 of the Habakkuk, this is how he wrote about his prayer. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut up from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. 6 reasons. Everything goes wrong. Verse 18, he says, "Yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." You see, the prophet knew deep in his heart that the Lord would save him from troubles. He experienced God who rescues his children from crisis. He knew that the Lord would protect him over and over again. Yet, he concluded his prayer like this. "Even though it takes years or forever to see my answered prayers, even though everything goes wrong in my life, I will still rejoice in you, Lord. I will still exalt in yourself because you alone are good enough for me." You are my strength. You sustain me. You raise me on high. Because of this relationship I have, I will pray to you, not because of what I get from you. So folks, next time when you pray, begin your prayer calling God, my Father, my Father. If you don't have a good relationship with your earthly father, some of you have a hard time saying it, but Father in heaven is different. You can call him my dad. Stop right there before you rush into your shopping list. Stop and ponder. Soak your spirit and soul in your relationship with God and meditate on his love first. How much he loves you by giving his only begotten son to save you from your iniquities. Ponder on his grace that accepted you just as you are. Ponder on his goodwill for you. He means nothing but the best for you for eternity. Ponder on his wisdom that causes all things, both good and bad in your life, to work for good. Ponder on his power that created you fearfully and wonderfully. Do not trust in the lies that you look ugly, you are no good bum. Ponder on his power that created you beautifully and wonderfully and fearfully. Ponder on his patience, giving you a second and third and fourth and fifth chance to make up. Ponder on his gentleness and ponder on his faithfulness to provide your daily needs without failing. Ponder on his kindness. Ponder on his eagerness to communicate with you in prayer like a loving parent, like a loving child. Ponder on your relationship with your Father in heaven. Call him my Father and pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. A loving Heavenly Father, come to think of it, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he taught them the Lord's Prayer, which we are all familiar with, begins with Our Father. It's more than rhetoric. It's more than just words, good words to say at the beginning of prayer. Jesus truly meant it. He practiced it and he taught it. That some way down the road, we lost that. When we pray, we don't take time enough to ponder on our relationship with your Lord. Our Father, my Father, Dad, thank you for reminding us that prayer is more than making requests. It's a relationship. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.